You're tuning in to Real Talk with Paige and Casey.
When life gives you lemons, say, pass the tequila, sis.
I have been back and forth with the customer service at Hinge this week. So, right. Yeah, so I'm pretty sure I have been shadow banned by Hinge.
Yeah.
No, it's a thing. I think I've definitely done like a bit of research, because you go from having a super active profile with matches, and I found out that I'm a person that tends to, I will pause my profile and delete the app. And I do that consistently because I just go through phases where I want to date and where I don't. And when I don't want to date, I don't want to even look at the app. I don't want people to be liking me or whatever it is. And I think I've read that if you do that too many times, it's like the algorithm thinks that you're a bot. And so basically I noticed this time, and it was a couple of times prior to that as well, getting back on the app, that it doesn't matter who I like on the app, I won't match with anyone. And that literally, and do you know, okay, I'm not saying this because like, oh my God, I match with loads of people. It's more because I went from having a really active profile to matching with, you know, at least over 50% of the people that I liked, to then absolutely nothing. And so I was like, this is really strange. And it's definitely brought up a lot. Like, am I getting old? Is it?
Yeah.
Is it because I'm, you know, in my early 30s now and no one wants to match with me? But I spoke to a lot of people, and a lot of people have experienced similar. And then, yeah, deep diving into Google, there's so many people who've had the same thing happen. And basically I think it's like, A, the algorithm, but also it prompts you to have to pay or want to pay money to the app to see if that's the problem. And that was one of the things that she suggested to me. She was like, why don't you pay for this boost or something? And I was like, I'm not giving you money. I'm not paying for a platform that is literally giving me nothing. I'm getting crickets.
Well, so anyway, make the money somehow.
Well, literally they're making money from making people feel like they're inadequate, yeah, or whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah, it's a mindfuck for you.
Yeah, 100%. I feel like it's really unethical. And it's like, what about if you're on the app genuinely wanting to find a partner and find love?
Then you have to pay for it then.
Yeah, but even then it's not, I don't know, like it could be the same thing. Anyway, I've just taken it as a sign from the universe that I actually have to go out and meet people organically and not rely on a dating app.
Yeah, right. Well, I actually heard about this app the other day that celebrities and like influencers and actors and stuff are on because they're so high profile, but you actually have to get invited to go onto this app. I think it starts with R. I'll find out though. So yeah, you might be able to meet a celebrity if you change your profile to you're still an actor.
Ooh, maybe I'll apply. They'll be like, where is all your credits? What have you done? I'll be like, I'm in the process of launching a podcast.
You could just pay for followers on social media and then just do like a verified tick.
That is actually a good segue into what we're going to talk about today. So we're going to actually explore the world of dating in your 30s, the good, the bad, and the unglamorous, like being shadow banned from Hinge. So we're going to reveal some hilarious listener stories, and we're going to unpack the reality of not only being single and dating, but being single and dating in your 30s, because I feel like there's so much societal pressure and biological pressure that you don't necessarily have when you're younger and dating. And Case, you met your long-term partner on Tinder. So yes, we're going to dive into that and find out how she knew he was the one.
Yes. So, yeah. So I did meet Nick on Tinder. I literally remember the day that I downloaded it. And, yeah, and then Nick popped up and I, like, just started talking to him. But I was going through his profile and I was like, oh, my God, he's such, like, a Gold Coast typical fuck boy. Like, I was like, oh, I don't know if I want to go there. Like, I don't know if he's going to have any conversation. I don't know if he's going to be able to have any banter or any chat.
What did his profile look like? Do you remember?
Yeah, it was just like, you know, typical, like, at the gym, the beach, no t-shirt on, just the stuff that you see all the time. And then my thing was I would go on their Instagram, and if they had like a certain amount of followers, I wouldn't even go there because I just like, I don't know, I just didn't really see it necessary, like going out with somebody who had like 20 or 30,000 followers on social media. And I just like didn't feel like comfortable with going out with that many because I was like, oh, they might just be fuckboys, or they might just like, you know, not really have much chat, be too like too pretty boy kind of thing for me. That's me personally. Everybody's different. But yeah, and then I got talking to him, and then I remember him writing me out this huge essay. Like, it was this massive essay, and I was like, are you fucking kidding me? I'm like, what is with this essay? And it was just like, hi, how are you, blah, blah, blah. Just had like this big chat. And then, yeah, and then we're like, oh, well, let's meet up. But I don't like going out to dinner. Like, I feel like for me, when you go out to dinner, there's so much pressure. And I'm always like in my own head, and I always like look around like, oh my God, does this person think we're on a first date? Or what if the moment gets awkward and you don't know what to talk about and there's like a silence?
It is. Because you're already nervous as it is going on a date. I mean, I think that's a given. And then being in an environment where it's like you're interviewing each other because you're sitting across from each other. You've got so many people around you. You're both uncomfortable and you feel like people are watching you sit in your discomfort and wondering, like, is it going to work out?
Yeah. And then even at the end, it's like that awkward moment, which we'll get into this, who pays for the dinner? Or like who pays for the drinks? Or like, there's just so much pressure on it, and I just get really overwhelmed with it. And then what if it doesn't go well? What if you want to exit? How do you exit? Like, how do you run away? Like, you can't. Yeah,
you have your best friend on speed dial. Quickly text her under the table, emergency.
But so for us, I was like, after work, I was like, let's go for a walk. But it was honestly the best thing I could, like, we could have done. Because one, you're just, you feel like you're just two friends walking. There's no awkward who's going to pay, who's not going to pay, or like, what if I order, you know, ribs and I get it all over my face, or get all over my clothes or something.
Do you think that kind of set you both up to be more authentic on the first date and maybe opened up more connection by doing something a bit more casual?
Yeah, 100%. I would, if anybody goes on a first date, I highly recommend going for a walk because it just takes all the pressure off everything, and you're like way more relaxed. You're way more yourself.
I think just moving in general, because you're not sitting still, and that that nervous energy isn't just like stuck. Whereas when you're walking and moving and out in nature, it's almost like it gets to move through your body, and so you kind of get to, I guess, lean into it a bit more, and it dissipates.
Yep, 100% agree. So when I was driving home, I rang one of my good friends. I was like, I'm in love. That's it. I'm in love. I'm off all the sites now. Like, that's it.
Okay.
I'm done.
Let's dive into that. How did you know? How did you know he was the one? And because I know I've been in that experience before where I've left a date and been like, oh my God, he's my person, and absolutely wasn't. So what made this experience different to every other one?
Because it was just like, there was like that spark where we just did keep talking, and it felt like we had known each other forever. And also, like, was like physically attracted to him too, which was huge, and his personality as well. I literally, when as I was a, like growing up through as a teenager, I was like, I had all these things that I wanted. I don't know if you've done that. Have you ever like sat there and you've written down like, this is what I want in a guy?
Oh my God, so many times.
Have you ever done that?
Yeah, all the time. I probably redo it every year because I'm like, it just changes all the time.
Well, yeah, you can't, you have to. And like, it's like, it's like if you're going to buy a car, for instance, it's like, you know what you want, you know what color it is, you know what make it is, you know what model it is, you know everything. And it's like, if all those things tick the boxes, you buy it because it's what you want. So for me, I was like, maybe I'll do that with a relationship.
Do you write on the list how you want to feel in the relationship, or is it more about their qualities?
Nah. Oh, nope, not all. Haven't gone that far yet.
Okay, that's where you and I are definitely different. I'm like, I want to feel respected and seen and loved unconditionally.
No, I didn't even think about that. No, my thing was like, one, I wanted somebody to work away, like FIFO, so I've got my own time on my own when he's gone. Two, like, you know, is good looking, goes to the gym, looks after himself, has like a fun banter personality that we can like he's like my best friend. Like, that's why I was like, oh my God, I'm in love. That's it. Like, the universe has heard me. Like, they've delivered. That's it. We're done.
And your manifestation come through.
Honestly, I fully believe in manifestation. Like, I fully believe in it, and I believe in timing.
Do you say you were in a different space, like a really open space when you met him? Like, how were you feeling prior to that?
So I had just broken up with my other partner in January. And don't get me wrong, there was a period there where I was like, not okay, because I didn't know who I was or what I was doing and all that stuff. And then as soon as I were like okay, I'm okay, like I'm fine, everything's good, I like being on my own, like I'm happy being on my own, I actually just accepted being by myself, that was when Nick literally came in.
It's funny, you hear that all the time, that it's the moment that you get comfortable being single, and I think just get comfortable with yourself. And it doesn't mean that you have to fully love yourself, because I think self-love is kind of like, it can be a lifelong journey. But I think when you get to a point of just accepting where you are, accepting your flaws, accepting that it's okay not to be perfect.
Yeah. And you're just open again. You're open to whatever comes your way, and you're not putting out to the universe, I'm not okay. Like, and you shut everything down that comes your way. Yeah, I feel like for me, like, I was like, we're open, we're good, like I'm happy again. And then I met Nick. So I don't know if I met him before that time, I don't reckon I would have been, because I just wouldn't have been ready. And he was the same as well.
Yeah.
So I think it was just timing for both of us. It has been a bumpy ride, but we're here now. Five years down.
If you hadn't met Nick and you were still single in your 30s, how do you think you would be navigating life? How would you feel dating again?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know, because I've never been a person to go out on dates. So, and everybody else who I had met was, you know, I met my ex on a ski field. Like, I was with his friend and I threw a snowball at his friend, but he ducked and hit Joey. And that's how I met him. I never did the dating thing. I think I went for like maybe two dates on Tinder.
Oh my God. Some people go on like 3 or 4 dates a week from a dating app.
I know they do. Some people just do it for free dinners.
Actually, funny that you say that. A girl I work with, she just came back from a 3-month stint in Europe, and she actually told me, so she was in Switzerland, and she said it was really expensive. So she's like, I just wanted to go out for a really fancy dinner. So she got on Bumble and went on a date in Switzerland just so she could get her dinner paid for.
Oh my God. See, it's like, I don't hear stories from like the guy's point of view. Like, this is how I found out about this stuff. Like, from a guy's point of view, it's like I get it from a girl's point of view. Great that you can pull that. But from a guy, it's like guys do not have trust in us now because of that.
Yeah. Like, I understand if that's not the intention of going on the dates. If you're not intending to go on dates just to get a meal paid for. And it is more just to enjoy the company. And then that's like a bonus.
Yeah. Then what about that poor guy who wants love? He wants to find a relationship, he wants to find his soulmate. But then you're just going out with a girl, he's just using him for his dinner.
I feel like maybe the guy needs to vet the girls a little better. But in saying that, it can be really hard to really tell what someone's intentions are. Unless you ask them straight up, it can be quite difficult on a dating app.
Has someone ever asked you straight up, what are your intentions?
Actually, they have. And this was when I was younger. I was probably only like 23. And at that time, I wasn't very, I guess, emotionally mature. I didn't quite understand that it's actually a really positive thing when someone asks you what your intentions are. And this person made it really clear to me that they were dating to find a relationship. And just because of my age and just not understanding that that's, again, like a positive thing, I've ruined it. I thought it was a turnoff, and I thought that he was moving too quick. And when the reality of, like, looking back now, he actually asked me in a really respectful way, and he was telling me what it was that he was looking for. He was really understanding when I said that I didn't know what I was looking for. But I feel like I kind of self-sabotaged it because I thought it was a red flag when actually that is a green flag.
Yes. But yet again, it's just if you're ready for it right then and there, like if it's about the timing. You know, like you weren't ready then. But imagine if he came over right now and we guys went on a date, you would be open and ready to go.
Oh, absolutely. I would respect that and I would admire that. And honestly, I would find that so attractive. If someone that I went on a date with was like, hey, what are your intentions for dating? Just letting you know, I'm looking for a relationship, or I'm just wanting to have fun, whatever it is, I think that is such an attractive quality in a guy.
Yeah, exactly. It's all about timing. And because obviously you've been dating a lot more than I have. Have you ever been catfished?
No, I wouldn't say I've been catfished. There definitely was one date that I went on where I swear to God, this person put photos of their brother on their Hinge. Honestly, when I got to the date, I remember the only way I knew who he was that he waved at me because he looked nothing like his photos. I mean, same colored hair, but that was it. So, so different. So I feel like maybe, I don't know, he put his best angle up. I don't know what it was. I think that's something that a lot of people experience as well, is people not looking anything like their photos.
Yeah, especially females, because, man, we are so good at those editing websites.
Do you know what? I actually don't. I make sure that the photos that I do put on Hinge don't have filters. I don't want to turn up and someone be like, oh, you look so different to what I thought. How awkward. What an awkward start.
A good thing? And they're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's great if they're like, wow, you're so much more beautiful in real life. Yeah.
I know. Message your mate, SOS. And then what is the wildest and wackiest dating story that you have for a first date?
I've always had quite good first dates. I've been pretty lucky. I don't have anything that is too crazy or anything like that. There was one date where I did find out, I think it was like a couple of months later, that the guy I went on a date with, so at the time his dating profile said he was 35, and I later found out he was, I think, turning 43.
At least he looked great for his age.
No, he looked 35 at the time. So the only way I found out was he was an actor, and I'd never heard of him. I didn't know who he was at the time, but like even on our date, there was just something in my gut. I was like, there is something, there's red flags, something doesn't feel right about this person. And like even on the date, we were just at coffee and he was like, do you want to come back to my art studio to check out my art over down the road? I was like, no. No, I do not. Thanks though.
Oh my god, code, come on.
Yeah,
back,
code, my art studio.
Yeah, we'll do some paint. I'll paint you naked, shall I?
Do you know what? He was the type of guy that would be like, you paint me naked.
Oh my god, that's the best.
But no, the only way I found out about his age was an acting coach of mine randomly posted a photo with him, and that's how I found his profile, and I was like, oh, like they know each other.
Did you question him?
No, I didn't, because no, I didn't. Well, obviously it said 35 on his bio. He looked 35. There was nothing that made me question that he wasn't. And then, yeah, it was only through finding out his full name through an acting coach on his Instagram that I Googled him. And then I found out he was, yeah, like 8 years older than what he was saying. I think I was 28 at the time. So he was like nearly 15 years older than me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mental. And I know you probably have this, but because I love your stories, most embarrassing moment on a first date.
Oh my gosh.
Second date.
Again, I've always been pretty lucky with dates. I feel like I'm pretty good at the first date, the initial dating part. It's the other stuff where I fall to bits. I don't think I've actually had anything embarrassing happen, but we did reach out to some listeners and ask them about their dating stories. And I did get a couple of responses, and one was actually really, really funny. So I'm going to read it to you. So someone wrote in and they were like, well, there's been a few, because we asked about cringe dating stories. Well, there's been a few. The one when I showed up and his front tooth was missing, the reason none of his pics had him smiling on his profile.
Oh, my God.
Or the one when he started swearing at the waiter and I went to the toilet and told my friend to call me and say there was an emergency.
Oh, my God, that is red flag. Like, you do not.
Absolutely.
Like, that poor waiter. That is a like person. What? That's a mean. Yeah. You don't yell at someone. You swear at somebody.
And also, why are you swearing at a waiter when you're trying to impress someone?
Yeah. Do you think that's going to impress a person by yelling at somebody and being like, try to be all manly, like, fuck off.
Yeah, that's what it reminds me of, trying to be all manly and macho and be like,
yeah,
that's
controlled-ish. Like,
that is so unattractive. It's so not attractive.
Yes.
There was another one. So someone said, my date arrived blind, falling over drunk from a day-long drinking session, had to put them into a taxi after 10 minutes.
Oh, my God. Okay, that I actually like that. I would have probably, well, now I would have been like, well, let's go out and get drunk. Like, I actually would have been like, yeah, I'll level up to yours.
I did ask. I was like, did they reach out again? And they did say that the next day they did reach out.
I'm surprised they even remember they even met her.
I know. Wild. But I guess when you're in that state, you just sometimes you don't think that you are that drunk. You think you're invincible.
But also, at least he committed and he still showed up. Like, I'll give him fucking high fives for that one.
True. Consistency.
And he didn't blow her off. I mean, me and Nick went on my actual first date. Well, second date. He was coming off a 2-day bender.
Was he coherent?
He could still talk. It was fine.
I wonder why you connected so well.
Yeah, I was impressed. I was like, because I was literally in my head, I was like, yeah, he's not going to come. Like, there's no way. And he showed up. I was like, oh, well done. Bravo for that, for effort.
So we did go through some of the dating profiles. Casey and I decided we'd do a little bit of market research just to see what is out there on the apps. And honestly, some of their bios are very, very questionable.
I agree, but I felt so bad. I felt so guilty doing this because for a woman, if you're looking for guys, come to the Gold Coast, because most of the Gold Coast guys' bios were wanted to find a long-term relationship or wanted to find their partner or wanted to have their best friend to go out on boating trips and camping and hiking and things like that. So I was like, oh, everyone's so sweet on here.
I'm in Sydney, so I don't know if anyone has heard about the dating pool in Sydney, but I swear every female that I talk to, it is the same experience. I guess maybe because there's a lot of holiday travelers coming over here.
Yeah. Like,
and so they're just keen for a good time. Yeah. Peter Pan syndrome. Yeah. But there was one, I screenshotted a heap, but I won't read them all out. But there was one person who had a photo of literally a bush and he said, leave a comment if you want to meet here.
Oh my God.
He actually wrote to me and he was like, hi Paige, if you were a fruit, you'd be a fine apple. If you want something more in life and something real, hit me a like, only if you dare, wink face. Most women here are chicken emoji. It's their loss. I mean, I'd be chicken as well because I do not want to go out to the bush with you by yourself.
Oh my God. Do not want to be abducted. Story. Yeah, so I actually have a story that you just said that. So I was speaking to my social media girl and they played like her and this guy, I think it was like a first day, which they want to play role play of kidnapping. So she went along with it. He tied her up, put her in the boot, drove her, don't even know where, she doesn't even know where she went. And then they had this role play, had slept together out in like a bush and then came back. And when she told me, I was like, babe, are you mental? I'm pretty sure it's the first date or second date. I'm like, what if he kidnapped you? Like, you've just literally handed yourself to somebody.
Yeah, that is a lot of trust to put into someone that you have barely know or have only just met for the first time.
I know, right? That is a major red flag. Like, if somebody said that to me, I was like, fuck, bro.
Yeah.
That is,
I mean, I could understand wanting to live out a fantasy like that maybe when you're in a relationship and that playing out. But
yeah, when you like have trust that that person's not going to murder you. Yeah,
when that trust is built there. To actually get into someone's boot willingly tied up.
And drive across like the whatever Gold Coast. Dark and terrifying. Bumping around.
I think, look, it's really challenging. I think regardless, being single, don't get me wrong, it definitely has its pros. And I think being single is a really beautiful time to really focus on yourself and create a life that you love. But there's definitely that societal pressure that, you know, it's almost like society tells you that you're more worthy and more lovable when you're in a relationship. And it's like that you have it figured out when you're in a relationship. And so it's almost like that stigma of being single, which causes you to think that you need to find someone.
Yeah, which you definitely don't. Like,
no, yeah, no way. I think it's better to put that energy into yourself and filling your life with things that you love and finding hobbies and meeting people organically that way. Because I think when you feel really good about your life, you are more inclined to attract someone who is going to be a match for you.
Yeah,
and if that means being single for years and years.
Yeah. So another hot topic that I have been asking a lot of people, and this is very controversy, and I'm probably going to get myself into a lot of trouble saying this, but who pays on the first date?
Okay, I really truly believe the man.
But what if you ask him out on the first date? Does he still pay?
He still pays.
But you're his guest. You asked him.
I guess maybe I'm a little bit old school in my values. But I think it is, I think men actually enjoy giving and stepping up. And it's almost like I feel like biologically they're more wired to want to like provide and protect. And so I think allowing them that space on the first date to do that and to feel masculine, I guess, and for a woman to sort of like lean back into her feminine and receive, I think that kind of sets the tone for the rest of the day.
So, So does that mean because you're doing that old school chivalry, does that mean that you are, as a woman, you have to provide, cook, clean, do everything for them while they are the breadwinners?
No, absolutely not. Well, so this is just me saying on the first date, and don't get me wrong, I'm the sort of person where I won't just sit back and expect them to pay. We'll always offer to pay half or whatever it is. Like, I'm not just going to be like, okay, yeah, you've got the bill. But if a man takes the initiative and wants to pay, I will let them, especially on the first date. We'd love to know, any men listening to this podcast, please let us know. Do you actually like paying on the first date, or would you rather a female pay?
So I completely utterly disagree with all of that.
Okay, so let's hear it.
I wouldn't get myself in trouble. I feel like some females that go on about, I'm an independent woman, I make my own money, I can provide for myself, I'm this strong woman, which you are, so like you should be able to go in and pay for your own and their dinner. Like, if you are asking a guy out for their first date, you are their guest. He is your guest. You should be like I'm asking you out, let's go out for a drink, let's go out for dinner, my shout, because I asked you. So therefore, you're my guest, so then I'll pay for you. But I feel like if the guy asks you to go out on a date, first date, then I think as a woman, you should go in and be like, yep, I would expect to pay for the thing, for the date, and just have that set in your mind. And like, if you can't afford to pay for the date, then I feel like maybe do like that walking date or go out for a coffee or something like that. Because if you can afford to like do a coffee, then it's like the second date, technically they would probably pay for it because they would feel it's a talking point. because girls don't usually pay, right?
Yeah.
So for a guy's point of view, it's like, yeah, she paid for my dinner or she paid for my coffee. Like, who is this person? I want to get to know her a little bit more.
Look, I don't think there's any right or wrong. I just think if you go into a first date, even if you ask them, if a guy offers to pay, I think you should let them. I don't think you should be like, no, I've got this.
Also, in saying that, you could be like, I'll pay for this one and then you get next one. So then you're insinuating there's going to be another date.
Yeah.
So then you've got a second date. You planted the seed for the second one.
And then they just and never then contact you.
You're ghosted. But they will because you paid for the first one because it's like a talking point. And then the second date, you can be like, let's go to a more fancier restaurant.
Now you're paying. You're footing the $150 bill while I footed the $5 coffees.
Yeah, exactly. Because you still contributed in some way. Gone are the days that the women, females don't earn as much as guys. Like, we are on par now, depending on what industry you work in.
Yeah.
But we're mostly on par. And I kind of find, like, an our age group. Yes, like, don't get me wrong. I had a chat with Nick about this morning. Mm-hmm. Like, none of his friends, no, he doesn't know any of his friends that would not pay for dinner, right? At all. Because we're the older generation, but I feel like the younger generation coming through, like in your 20s, are a bit, feel like they're different.
Oh, definitely. Someone went on a date, I think last week, and they told me that, so when they were on the date, the guy, so he paid, but he went up to order their dinner, their pizzas, and then I think he took like half an hour. It was something ridiculous. And then when he came back to the table, the girl she asked like, what happened? Where did you go? Was it the line really long or something like that? And he was like, no, I had to sign up for the membership so I could get $2 off our pizzas. So he took half an hour to sign up to a membership on a date so he could get $2 off their pizzas.
Babe, like, yeah, that's a red flag right there. But that's what I'm talking about. Like, I feel like it's a younger generation that don't pay anymore, which and who are a little bit more tighter with their money, either
cost
because
of living.
Cost of living, one, and because I'm probably going to get shunned for this, but because those the females that go out just to go on a date to get dinner paid for, the younger generation know about that. They know what girls are up to now because they've heard the stories from their mates and from their girlfriends or friends that are girls and stuff like that. So they know.
That's why I think it's really good to offer to pay because it's like,
but half,
obviously you need to go, but half.
Look, I'll pay for my half, you pay
for
yours. Well,
I went on a date at the start of the year and we went somewhere and it was his idea to go to this particular restaurant and spend all this money on food and drinks. And I think the bill was like, it was literally like $150 or $200. And so I offered to pay my half. I wasn't going to pay.
My God, Paige!
I'm not paying $200 for you on a second date when I barely know you. But anyway, he was beautiful, such a lovely guy. He loved paying. Literally everywhere we went, I would offer to pay all the time. And I would actually have to sometimes.
Your half.
Like, go. No, I would pay for his too. But I on the second date, I was not paying $200.
Babe, I go out to dinner on my own and my dinner's $200.
Look, I just think on a second date, I'm not spending $200. He spent $200 on me, so.
Right. Oh, my God. So that's another thing too. It's like, so what? So if you guys, you know, went on a third date and, you know, you shared an ice cream or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, third date. Okay, yep. So it's like you have this half, I'll have this half, and I'll give you $2 for my half, and you pay for the other half.
Well, I paid. On the third date, I paid. And even then, he really didn't want to let me pay. And I was like, look, no, you have spent a lot. Please let me pay. Because by this point, I was like, I don't feel comfortable with you just literally paying for everything. I think, like, in the first couple of dates, it's okay to be wooed and to let someone pay for you, let them feel nice, you feel nice. But then I think after that, when you start to connect a lot more, I think it's nice to contribute.
Is this the one that you got ghosted?
Yeah.
Because you wanted to pay for half.
He didn't pay for his $200 dinner.
See?
See? No. No, he ghosted me on the third date when I did pay. See, there we go. I paid and he ghosted me.
No.
First two dates he paid. Couldn't honestly message me Lowe's. Because the third date I paid.
To like crickets. McDonald's.
We did not. We went to a bar.
I'll pay for you, babe. It's only $50.
Don't worry, babes. I got you 50 cent ice cream.
See, you're probably going to match up with the dinner the second date. And you took it to somewhere else for the third date.
I did not. We went to a bar. We had a great time. We had a really great time.
Uh-huh.
We'll get into that in another episode about ghosting.
I want him to get in. I want him on this podcast.
We don't follow each other anymore.
Oh, okay.
And followed him, deleted his number after he ghosted me.
I 100%. I'm going to 100%. It's because you paid. You wanted to pay half.
I just offered. I didn't offer to pay half. I offered to pay.
All right. Well, we'll come back. We'll do an episode on ghosting. And
yep.
We're going to get Nick involved in that one from a guy's point of view. It's going to be a very, what's the word I'm looking for?
Controversial. Controversial and informative, because Nick was a bit of a ladies man from what I've been told from both of you.
Yes.
So it'll be really interesting to hear from a male's perspective as to why they ghost women, especially after sex. That seems to, well, I mean, that kind of says it all, right? They got what they wanted.
I could tell you that. Why?
Yeah, I think that's pretty clear.
They got what they wanted.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
My rule of thumb with that one is third date. I'm probably going to get shown for that.
Oh, no, they'll
too,
still ghost. But trust me, they'll still ghost you after sex on the third date.
But I would pay for their full dinner.
Okay, there you go, ladies. There's the key. Pay for their full dinner and you won't get ghosted.
Well, we don't know that yet. Yeah, we need to do an experiment.
Okay. All right. Well, I best get back onto Hinge. Try and not be shadow banned anymore.
We'll find out what that celebrity one is and try and get added onto that one.
Yeah, that would be interesting. I mean, obviously they've got loads of money, but yeah, I think it just comes down to it's a sort of, I don't know, feminine masculine thing.
You might have to take them out to a bit more of a 5-star restaurant.
Oh my God. Okay. I better start saving.
Yeah. You're probably going to have to hire a dress, do your hair and makeup, start saving for like a $500 dinner.
Oh my gosh.
Go to the fancy wines.
Okay. Yeah. So I guess to wrap this up, dating in your 30s, what would be your final piece of advice to people who are navigating it while they're single?
My final piece of advice would be pay for the dinner. Yeah. And just don't put any pressure on it.
Yeah.
But will be. What was yours, Paige?
Mine would be take the pressure off yourself.
Pay for the dinner.
Don't pay for the dinner.
Don't offer, pay half. Just don't.
No, it would be definitely to take the pressure off yourself. I think when you are actively trying to find the one, you put that pressure onto everyone you date, and it takes away the fun and it takes away the authenticity of it. I think definitely you don't have to go to bars to meet people. Look at getting out in gyms, social clubs, run clubs. I think going places where there's hot, sweaty men is, you know, when there's pheromones flying, it could be a really good way to meet people. And I think just focus on filling your cup up and work out what makes you happy and do more of that, because that's attractive and that's magnetic and you're more inclined to manifest someone that way.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, thanks so much for listening again, and keep tuning in every week for a new episode. Also, please get in touch if you have any questions, if there's anything you might want to hear, any guests that you might like on the podcast. We are obviously still figuring this out as we go along and learning and loving it and just wanting to bring more content to you guys.
So we're happy to interview anybody who has a story. So please reach out.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. If you love Real Talk, please be sure to download, subscribe, and leave a 5-star rating and review. Also, make sure you follow us on TikTok and Instagram. Our handles can be found below in the show notes. If anything in today's episode resonated with you or you would like to share your Real Talk, please reach out, slide into our DMs. We would love to connect. That's it for today. Please join us again next week for another juicy episode.